This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Wednesday, November 4th, 2009. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters Podcast. My name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we are your hosts for the show. Today is a special episode because we actually have an in-studio guest. I'd like to welcome Mr. Sean Bossy. Welcome, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Thank you, guys.
It's great to have you here. You're coming from where now?
I am coming from North Conway, New Hampshire, which is up in the Mount Washington Valley, up in northern New Hampshire.
All right. And the reason we're speaking with Sean, besides the fact that, A, he's here, B, is because he is a, what would you call him, a pre-Toastmaster? I don't think there's a title for this.
Potential Toastmaster?
Yeah, well, he's more than a potential Toastmaster because he's not somebody who's just thinking about Toastmaster. Sean, why don't you give us a quick introduction as to why you are a pre-Toastmaster?
Sure. Yeah, I saw an ad for a new Toastmasters group opening up in North Conway and decided that I'd check it out and see what it's about. It was always something I was interested in. I knew a little bit about Toastmasters and certainly knew that they were all about public speaking and improving your communication skills, and so it was interesting to me from that perspective.
Okay, and this ad for the Toastmasters Club, it wasn't an official Toastmasters club, was it?
No. They were, and they stated that in the ad, that they were looking to build membership and to, if you were interested in, for any guests to come by and just see what it was about, to hopefully build up a group in the Valley.
Okay. So after looking into this a little bit more, it turns out that it is somebody from another club who was sponsoring this brand new Toastmasters club, trying to start a new Toastmasters club. And of course, that's what you need to do. Once you start a Toastmasters club, you need to start advertising or trying to get members to come to it. And how long ago was this, Sean?
Oh, geez, probably maybe 9 months ago, 9-10 months ago is when it first when we first started with it.
Mm. Okay.
And Sean, what did you expect when you walked into your first meeting?
You know, I had no idea. It was a little bit of fear because obviously I figured it had to do with some speaking, public speaking, and thought I might have to do some of that. But I really had no idea. It was more like a networking event for me when I went there because I went with some friends that were also part of it and were interested.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. In the ad that you saw, did it say anything about not having to get up and speak?
No. It didn't say anything.
That's interesting because I remember when we were opening clubs as the Lieutenant Governor of Marketing, I would make sure that on the ads that we posted or the invitations we sent, we made it clear that you do not have to get up and speak because that really puts people some like, oh, geez, I don't want to deal with that.
Right.
You know, I don't want to have to get up and speak.
At least not the first meeting. Some people just want to observe and see what it's all about.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think people are under the impression that they will have to do that at the moment. So I think it's important to make that distinction.
So did you give your first speech at that first meeting?
I did not. We had it was a small group, probably, let's see, maybe 7 or 8 for the first meeting. And so to fill the positions, everyone sort of chipped in. And I ended up doing the safest one at the time, which was the timer. So that seemed like something I could handle. And honestly, because I figured if I was doing the timing, I wouldn't have to speak.
Did you keep good time? There, Sean?
I think so. Yeah.
I handled it. Was it accurate, or did you add 10 seconds or 20 seconds in that dance? Darn, I can't believe I did that.
Dead on accurate.
Nice. Well done.
Good. It's a start.
Very good.
It was actually a good place to begin because I could stand back and see sort of how the whole the Toastmasters basically functioned, the meetings functioned. So it was useful to take that on.
And that was your first meeting. So obviously, after the first meeting, you were interested enough in it to come back.
Yes.
You came back how many times?
Oh, probably another 6 times or so. The club actually stopped through the summer months, through these prior summer months. So I would have had a lot more meetings if we had continued.
Right. If it were a real Toastmasters club and somebody approached you and said, "Would you like to sign up?" Would you have?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the only reason you didn't is basically because you couldn't.
Right. We were trying to reach, and geez, you know, the number escapes me now. I think it was
20.
Yeah, we're trying to reach 20 members, and we would hit 20 and then lose a few and then gain a little bit more back, but we didn't quite get to the 20. Now that the club's been reestablished, or the club to be, I should clarify, we are definitely at the 20 mark, and I think the process has started. I'm not on the group, the board that's doing that, but I know that they're working hard at it.
Okay. So as a somebody new going into this meeting, what kind of caught your attention as something that you kind of felt uncomfortable or you didn't like or anything? I'm trying to look for something that kind of struck you the wrong way that even possibly made you think, you know what, I may not come back to this.
Probably I didn't know what to expect. So if I didn't have anything in front of me that said, this is step one, we're going to have this person come up and speak. Step two, you are going to respond in this way. So there was no real agenda, so to speak. And that was uncomfortable because I wasn't sure.
So you would have liked a little bit more organization, perhaps, even for these meetings.
Yeah, more organization, more a sense of expectation, or maybe right off the bat being told, you know, no, you don't need to get up, just observe, and we'll give you the process, you know.
I think the agenda there is an important point for our listeners, too. If you are trying to start a club, having a printed agenda as a guest walking in there, that gives you a sense of security that you know what to expect, what the flow of the meeting is going to be. So that certainly would have helped, I'm sure.
I think the other issue, too, is because they were trying to start the club, we also didn't have a lot of the collateral material, which we eventually got the Toastmasters magazine of that material, which would have helped sort of give a better overview of what the entire organization is about.
So they didn't have anything, any brochures or nothing about Toastmasters International?
Very little, and it was only things that could be shared. It wasn't anything that anyone could take away with them. So.
I think that's an easy solution. I mean, just Toastmasters International, they have their store where you could get any club or any member, I believe, could get a whole bunch of free stuff, right? Just for the asking.
Right.
There's free materials that will help spread the word of Toastmasters, and then, of course, they have plenty of stuff to purchase as well. So that could have been easily solved.
Definitely.
How about things, Sean, that did strike you the right way, that you were really impressed with these meetings?
I certainly could see how getting up in front and talking it would push you out of your comfort zone, and with practice you could get better. It was obvious just watching the people who I knew who had already improved their communication skills just by the fact that they'd been up and done it a few times. I enjoyed just the camaraderie with the people that were there. We had a lot of fun. The table topics were always humorous, entertaining, and it was a good time. It was being with friends, basically.
Yeah. So you mentioned before that you went with a couple friends. Did that make it easier?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, because there was some camaraderie around what to do next, so we didn't feel totally alone in the process.
Right. Yeah.
And we were able to share our experiences of what we thought of the event afterwards, thought of the meeting afterwards.
So. I could see that going both ways. Right. You know, going to a meeting alone, nobody's there that you know. So if you go up and make a fool out of yourself, nobody's going to talk about it and bug you for the next, you know, 2 months.
But there's a certain vulnerability in going in with friends, I would think. You know, there's support on one hand, but you're like, am I going to make a fool of myself in front of my friends? Are they going to think differently?
Exactly. I guess it depends on your attitude and then your friends' attitudes as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And actually, the second time that I went back, I did make a speech. I couldn't look at my friends when I was making the speech for that very reason. It was like I looked at everyone else but them because I didn't want to either get uncomfortable or break up laughing. So
yeah.
Right.
You did your own speech?
I did, yeah.
The icebreaker speech?
Didn't do the icebreaker, no. What was it? I did I was given a topic and then had to speak on that.
A table topic. Yeah, so a 2-minute.
Yes.
Yeah. Impromptu, off the cuff, gotcha.
Yeah, did that a few times, and that was fun. It was challenging because, doing that whole spontaneous thing is it's unique.
Kind of like we're making you do right now.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
A little bit like that. Were there members giving prepared speeches at the meeting?
There were a couple of icebreaker speeches in the following meetings that were very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
And evaluations as well?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Did you find that the evaluators were providing helpful feedback, things maybe that you didn't pick up on?
Absolutely, yeah. I learned a lot in just a few meetings there because of that. It was very insightful. And, you know, how you present yourself, the ways you address the audience, which I didn't even think of. I was one of those people that when I first got up that I was gripping the podium and staying right behind the podium. And, you know, I learned how not to do that.
Right.
But
leaving the fingernail marks.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
But you weren't a jingler, were you?
Yeah,
with your hand in your pocket with all the coins?
No. No, I didn't do that.
That's good. If you did, that wouldn't be bad, but you know, it's good that you weren't.
That's right. No, I was just holding the podium. That was definitely my era there.
Yeah. How about the whole ums and the ahs? Did it seem strange to you, like you never realized how many times you have actually said those or uttered those noises before?
Oh, yeah.
Prior to Toastmasters, somebody actually pointing it out and counting every time you do. Are you more aware of it now in your everyday life?
See, there we go. I start off with that. I guess I am. Yeah, definitely. And I was surprised how often I used it. I guess it's just a filler word that it was part of my vocabulary, and it made me much more aware of it for sure.
Right. Mm. Yeah, it's interesting because in general speaking, casual conversation, nobody points that out, and it's not like a taboo to utter those sounds. However, professional speakers, on the other hand, especially when you're speaking in front of a Toastmasters audience, then they're looking for that.
Yeah.
You can't get away with that.
Right. Yeah, definitely. The other thing I noticed was just how long 2 minutes is when you're up there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, listening to everyone that would go up, I thought, well, gee, that was easy. They were up and down. But when I get up there, for some reason, the topic was a unique one, and I ran right through my whole concept. It must have been in 30 seconds and didn't know what else to say for the rest of the time.
Right.
That was a learning adventure, too.
So, Sean, the people leading the meeting, did they kind of put a little pressure on getting the audience to come up and speak, or did they have the policy where if you don't want to speak, you don't have to?
No, they definitely didn't have a policy of not wanting to speak. I think everyone was certainly encouraged to get up, and there was a little pressure to make a splash and do your speech right on the spot. So that was a little uncomfortable because it was that sense of dread of, am I going to be asked next?
And right.
So there was immediately, you know, a little bit of uncomfortability. But again, not knowing the whole Toastmaster process, I thought, well, maybe this is what they do. They throw you in on the deep end, and that's how you learn to swim, is you just have to just be given, the opportunity. So
yeah. That's an interesting point of view because as a brand new Toastmaster, somebody new to the organization, your impression of the organization is most likely based on your first impressions. So if the club gives you the impression that you do need to speak, and if you don't volunteer, you will be called upon, then that could be your impression of the club moving forward. Now, in Toastmasters International, generally speaking, guests are never put in that kind of position. A guest is, if you don't want to speak, you don't have to. You're given the opportunity, but you're certainly not called up or pulled up. Whereas in clubs do it completely differently. I mean, Ryan, we both belong to a bunch of different clubs. Depending on the club that you, it's part of the club culture, in other words.
Okay.
So some clubs will, they know their members, and after the member has been a member for a while, then, you know, come on, you know, it'll be like, you know, high pressure.
Right.
Whereas other clubs, you know, you're completely on your own and there's no pressure whatsoever. If you want to sit in the corner and if you want to be timer for the next 2 years, you can be. And that's the great thing about Toastmasters with the different clubs. You know, if you don't like the culture at one club and the way that club is run for whatever reason, you go to another club and it could be completely different.
Definitely.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's it's interesting from a new Toastmasters perspective as how you envision the organization. So I think that is probably a good idea to explain to brand new members in Toastmasters.
Sure.
How it works, and then even tell them how your club works.
Yep.
So that can be different. Yeah.
In fact, in my first meeting, just thinking back, some of the nice folks that I met there suggested to me, you know, I'm glad you came, I hope you come again, but feel free to check out some of the other clubs in the area. And if you feel our club is the best match, then we'd love to have you come back and join as a member. If not, then, you know, all the best to you.
Very good. And it's interesting to point out, too, that Sean, it lives up in a part of the country where there aren't many clubs.
Right.
I mean, it's a very like country, woodsy type of area with scattered cities or would you even call them cities or towns?
Villages. Yeah, it's about an hour and a half to the next closest club.
To the next.
Oh, wow.
Which obviously is not going to work on a regular basis for you to go to, sure.
No, definitely.
Interesting to note. All right, any final thoughts or comments on Toastmasters?
Well, just that I encourage people to step off and try it. I'm definitely going to join. I hope our club actually does reach its membership goals. I think it will. It's been a learning experience and fun. So I think it's a great organization.
All right. It's been a pleasure having you, Sean.
Thank you both. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks for stopping by just for this.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care. All righty. That will do it for this week's Toastmasters podcast. We want to give a special thanks to Amation, who sponsored our podcast for the past 6 weeks. Their event is now coming to a close, so we want to thank them for their support. And we do also want to throw out there, if you are interested in sponsoring the Toastmasters podcast, like we did for Amation, the PowerPoint Karaoke, please give us a call and let us know. Our telephone number is 978-440-9300. Or you can also send an email to podcast@toastmasters.org, and we could discuss sponsorship.
We'd love to hear from you.
All right. If you do have any listener feedback on this episode or any others, please do contact us again at the email address podcast@toastmasters.org. Or you could find us on Twitter, twitter.com/theTMPodcast, or you can give us a call.
1-888-451-8862. That's our voicemail feedback line.
Right. But if you want to sponsor us, then you call our direct line because it's that important. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care. Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.